Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Brancheninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever and forever. Amen. So I hope that you enjoyed this little break we had. You know, so we are full of strength to continue. So we are going to continue on page 133, and we will start with the second paragraph there, fasting release a person from passions. So we are talking about fasting. Ignatius, he gave us some kind of basic information. So we will going to continue, and if it is God's will, we'll go fast today, because then when he gives this practical advices, so there is no need to stay there too long. But at first, there are two parts which are very interesting and can give us some kind of good understanding why fasting is important. So may I ask you to start to read?
Fasting releases a person from passions of the flesh, while prayer battles against spiritual passions, and having defeated them, enters the very fabric of the person, cleanses him from within, and leads God into this cleansed, rational temple. Whoever begins to sow the land...
Wait a minute.
Hello.
Fashionably late.
Oh, we have a big group coming. Welcome.
I think there's enough over there.
Over there.
Sir.
So, for you, we are on page 133, and somewhere in the middle, you can find it. All right. Let's continue.
Okay. Whoever begins to sow the land without first clearing it destroys the seeds before they can even sprout, and instead of wheat, he reaps thorns. If we sow the seeds of prayer in a similar manner, we will reap nothing, but we will harvest sins instead of truth. Prayer will be destroyed and dissipated by various vain and sinful thoughts and imaginings. Our feelings will be defiled by sensuality. Our flesh has come from the earth, and if we do not clear it as we would a field, we will never be able to grow the fruit of truth. However, if someone works the land with great effort and labor, but leaves it unsown, then it will be completely covered in weeds. Thus, when the body is mortified by fasting, but the soul is not cultivated by prayer, reading, and humble-mindedness, then fasting becomes the source of many spiritual passions, vanity, arrogance, contempt.
All right, so this is very, very important part, because it reveals us something from the spiritual laws. And it might give us answer if we don't see some kind great effects of our prayer or our fasting. Because he explains us today that fasting and prayer is connected. There is like bond there. And you cannot ignore this bond. This is why he said before that the biggest virtue is prayer, but the foundation of prayer is fasting. And he says that if we just put ourselves to work of prayer, and we do many times because we hear that. We hear this advice from priests, from preaching, from books, that, well, you should pray. And we are asked to pray. And for sure, I think that each of us try that, to pray hard, long. We put to our life some kind of prayer rule, which calls us that we spend even hour or more in prayer. And after some time, we didn't see any effect. We could feel that, well, we are praying, we offer time to this, and nothing, even we feel that something worse is coming to our life, that our spiritual state is going it's worse. And he explains that if prayer is not connected with fasting, that this prayer will be damaged and spoiled with many sinful thoughts and imaginations, and we will be some kind of victims of our senses. So he reminds that, well, that he says, and the book has this name, The Field, and he returns back to this idea when he compared our soul as a field. He said that, well, we have to clean this field and then to put these seeds which come with prayer. And the opposite, he says that, well, we can fast and neglect prayer. And again, we can really make huge efforts to clean the field. But if we don't put these seeds of prayer, so this field will be destroyed by weed, and it will be space when many passions will start to manifest. So it is very important for us to understand this connection. And when you think about this and you start to compare, like, things you know from like life of your grandparents or you read books in the past, and it seems that somehow the spiritual life was blossoming, that it brought some kind of fruit, and we don't see that. And many times we see even this Christian environment as a sterile, as a without fruit, without something what we really should expect from spiritual life, but it's not here. But we really abandoned this connection, prayer and fasting, because this fasting is expression, and when we will be reading more, it is some kind of really denying our will, opening ourselves for this grace which comes from prayer. And especially, I would say, fasting puts us to order in soul. The spiritual life has own rules. We might not understand when we start these rules, when we start to follow these rules. For example, now this connection of prayer and fasting, it might feel strange for us. But when we start to practice that, our soul will feel some kind of fruit. It's difficult even to
to describe this. It's more experience, which is like confirmation that we are doing right thing, and we somehow feel that something's growing on this spiritual level in our soul. There was one story that it's similar, I said last time probably, and it was a story about one man who came to famous monk. They have this fame of holiness, and he told him, well, he had some kind of problem. He said, well, look, Father, I am praying really a lot for this problem. God is not answering. I don't know why. And then monk told him, because you are fat. You know, and it was rude problem, but I think that this monk wanted to show him that, well, you are doing one thing and you are neglecting others. You are praying but doing nothing for this prayer to be fruitful, you know, and to bring something. But we have to avoid somehow this compression, especially when I was talking last time about this another monk who refused that priest because he was fat. And somehow during these 2 weeks I read a similar story, and there was like there was a warning that even if we read this kind of these stories, we should be very careful. We should be very careful to harvest judgment, because we don't know many times that what is in other person. And this person, this author, this writer, he wrote about another monk in Athens. He was very holy, but he was fed like horrible, and he was suffering because of that. And true is that he kept really fast, but his body was built this way that he was fat, and he suffered a lot because he was saying, what kind of testimony I'm giving to others if they see me this way? And this caused that he became very humble, and because of that God gave him some kind of gifts that he was able to help many souls. We don't know what is going on in others' spiritual lives. So, well, this example I used last time and now, well, we should not take it as some kind of truth we should apply and to make judgment over that. Okay. May I ask you, let's continue.
What is the passion of overeating and drunkenness? It is a natural desire for food and drink that has lost its proper orientation, which demands a great deal more in quantity and variety than is necessary for the support of life and physical strength. Ironically, this excess acts in the opposite way on physical strength, becoming harmful, weakening, and even destroying the body and its strength. Desire for food is sated by simple food, and from overeating and excessively enjoying food by abstinence. At first, one must reject satiety and gluttony. Through this, the desire for food is reoriented according to its natural purpose. When this hunger becomes properly directed, then a person becomes satisfied with simple food. On the contrary, the desire for food that is satisfied with overeating and gluttony becomes blunted. In order to reawaken it, we invent various delicious foods and drinks. At first, our hunger seems to be satisfied, but it gets more and more picky, and finally, it becomes a sickening passion that constantly seeks satiety and satisfaction, yet always remains unsatisfied.
Yeah. So he explains why we need this ascesis, that this fasting is... Well, we can see that as some kind of violence against our body. well, why not to have good food? Why not to have, if I can, why not to eat more a little bit? But in these words, he teaches us what is the goal of ascesis and fasting. It's not violent, like violence against body, but it is act of will when we return to normal order these faculties of our human being. Because what are passions? Passions are, somebody said that passions are virtues which went crazy, which got, you know. And what is the role of ascesis, this practice, this exercise, is that we return back their natural order. We return back natural order in our body, what body needs. And this practice is not only connected that we don't eat food. Through this, we conquer our passions, but we exercise our will, and will become stronger. Without this ascesis, we are like a person who is in a boat, but without, what is this?
Paddles.
And yes, and nothing. You are just sitting there, and you are waiting that when the stream will take you. You know, you don't put like direction. You are not able to put direction to your life, but ascesis is something that puts order to your life. All right, we are going to continue to some kind of practical advices, but before, do you have some kind of comments or questions? No? So let's continue.
If we have decided to dedicate ourselves to the service of God, let us put fasting as the foundation of our labors. The essential quality of any foundation must be unbreakable firmness. Otherwise, a building will never remain standing, even if it is built properly. And we must not, under any circumstance, allow ourselves to break a fast through satiety, especially through drinking too much. The Holy Fathers generally considered the best fast to be eating once a day, but not to complete satiety. Such a fast does not weaken the body because of long abstinence, yet does not burden it with excessive food, and still makes it capable of soul-saving activity. Such a fast is not particularly difficult, and so the one fasting has no reason to think highly of himself, something he would be inclined to do if his fasting was out of the ordinary.
Okay. So he gives us two principles we should keep in mind when we start this practice of fasting. The first principle is to see a real goal of fasting. If you make decision, and many people they do this, that well, I'm going to fast and I hope I will lose weight, you know. And especially I heard many ladies to say, well, it's good that the great fast came because, well, shortly after Easter, we are going to vacation, so swimsuit will fit better. Well, if we have something like that in mind, so it doesn't help. It's not about ascesis. These people do it in the world, but it doesn't serve for spiritual benefit. The first principle he gives us is that we have to make decisions. We are doing that as a service to God. And what does it mean? It means that if I slowly make this effort to start this practice of fasting to my life, I will notice immediately one important thing. I'm getting more time. I'm getting more time because I don't spend time with preparing food, with shopping, or if I go to something what is more simple, so I'm spending time with cooking, you know. And so now I get time I used differently before, and this time I can use to serve God.
So let me ask this. If, for example, the doctor says you really need to go on a diet, is there any benefit to try to spiritualize that diet? You know what I mean? By making it a penitential thing, or is there any spiritual benefit to that? I mean,
sure, but well,
would that add additional motivation for it too?
Yes, it is. You know, and I, there is this saying that if you, especially for medical reasons or health reasons, one thing is that if you want to provide, like I don't know who said it from saints, that if you keep commandments, you are doing the best for your health. And fasting commandment, so, but again, if he says this, sure, if you see this as an opportunity, okay, now there is an external reason which forces me to do this, so I'm going to transform it and I'm going to see that not as a tool for receiving my health, but as an impulse from God to start this discipline or ascesis. Yeah, sure. It depends on your intention. This would be maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Holy Fathers would correct me somehow, but I would see it this way. All right, so it is that it should serve for service of God. So I need immediately, I have to think about this. It's not only that I'm going to start to fast, but I have to realize I am going to get more time. What I am going to do with this time, and I have to put there the service to God. I have to make decision. I can read more, special pray more, or I can use the time in some kind of other spiritual activity which would elevate my spirit. And the second principle he gives us is in this his words is that it is moderation. We have to avoid extremes. We should not allow ourselves to these passions to push us to go extreme, because this is one of things we can expect. If we make really serious decision to put this ascesis to our life, one of temptation which comes will look like holy, and this temptation will push us, you go to extreme, you will fast, and you will eat only water and bread only once per day. And it is like good, holy thought. But behind the thought is demon who pushes us this way because he knows that it is the best way how to force us to stop this ascesis. So we have to be very careful. And we were talking last time that even this to acquire this habit of fasting, it should go like slowly. So we should start with little steps. And this one little step can be, I think we were talking about these Benedictine monks who try to get back to this tradition of Benedictines, this fasting tradition. So he started with that he at first he skipped just breakfast. And after several months, he added a little bit, he skipped something else. And again, for a long time, he healed them and something. So it took him 3 years to get to this diet or way of eating as it was normal for monks, Benedictines, in the time of Saint Benedict. And he had no problem with that. It was like slow process, slow change. But we find that it is quite difficult, especially when you are in work, that you have some kind of, you don't have somehow ability to make decision or opportunity how to eat this fast food. No. You know what I mean? It's really difficult, and we can find easily, and especially in family, when other family members, they don't fast at the time you want, so it is difficult. But going slowly this way to simplicity in this area, we will find a lot of obstacles, but solving these obstacles or changing our habits, this everything, it's like it will change our lifestyle slowly, and we create this good spiritual environment slowly, which will be different, and we'll see that. Yes, now I see that this change really is helpful for me for growing, spiritual growing. So there are two principles we should have in mind, that it fast is for as a service to God, and it should be in moderation. Well, we will see what he means under moderation in next paragraphs, not this one.
If we had decided to dedicate ourselves to the service of God, let us put fasting as the foundation of our labors. The essential quality of any foundation must be unbreakable firmness. Oh, I'm sorry, I read that already, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'll start, okay. Whoever does physical work or is so weak bodily that he cannot be satisfied with only one meal a day can eat twice daily. The fast is for the person, not the person for the fast. But in any case, whether you eat often or rarely, eating until you are full is strictly forbidden. This only makes a person incapable of spiritual labors and opens the door to other carnal passions. But immoderate fasting, that is, prolonged, excessive abstinence from food, is not recommended by the Holy Fathers. A person also becomes incapable of spiritual labor when his body is weakened through excessive abstinence, and often his fasting is soon followed by gluttony, or he falls into the passions of vanity and pride.
Yeah. So again, in this, he reminds or explains more what he already said about moderation, that, well, it's not fasting is not goal. Fasting is the tool. If fasting makes us not able to serve God and to take care of our responsibilities, and especially for our spiritual labors, like a prayer, reading, you know, and so it is not good. Again, I think this example of this Benedictine monk who was trying to get back those 3 years, it's a good advice for all of us, that not to go to fast to some kind of extreme of strictness, but slowly start to slowly with something, and to really keep to see and to watch our body, our spirit. What is going on when we skip something or during this change? And if we see that, well, we can, we are getting some kind of clarity in prayer more, so it means it's good. But if we see that there is no bad effect on our responsibilities, that we are able to do this, do our normal responsibilities, we are able to pray. Okay, so then when we adjust to this strictness, we can go more. And again, we have to be watchful, we have to watch that what is going on in our life with that. Because the really fasting doesn't make sense if we go to that point that we are skipping on responsibilities and and we cannot pray or do spiritual things. There is one thing which is connected with that and it is it was funny because description of one visitor of Athos, one of these monasteries there, during first week of the Great Fast, what he said, well, I could see that some people were cranky, you know, and another thing was that this bad smell from mouth. You know, well, it is something what is going on that it can have this influence on us, this bodily responses to fast, and even this temporarily worse mood, you know, it can be visible. But again, this is something what will last for day two, three, and then disappear. We should not act, if these signs will come, we should not act like in this commercial in TV when, you know.
Turn into a different person.
Yes, that you are hungry to have this like chocolate bar.
I
don't remember exactly. So it doesn't mean that if we experience this effects, temporal effects, that, well, now we have to return back. So we should be a little bit like, we should have like strength to fight with those things a little bit. And not only that, we should even like watch ourselves what is going up, because so there is some kind of our passions will come out more visible. At first, this gluttony, this desire for food, for drinking, for satisfying your body, but other passions, like if people can, they see that they are not able to control themselves, they burst in some kind of anger, they are nervous and something. So it is like indicator which points, okay, this is your problem here, you know. This is something when, you know, which goes out. Sometimes we see that this is something like effect of hunger, but well, this hunger just reveals what is in heart. So it is good indicator to know ourselves, what is inside of our hearts. Okay, so does it make sense? You know, we have to really do this experiment with ourselves to really to find out what works, what doesn't work. All right, let's continue. If there are no questions, so let's continue. Yeah.
Seems like, obviously, like we can't consider fasting as an end in and of itself. So there's almost like another layer beneath the ascetical discipline. Like that takes on a different form depending on the person, but it still has the same function. So there's this, because there's those two layers, and the form really follows the function in the relationship with God. It seems like there's this level of discernment to determining disciplinary practices that has to do with this very alive and real relationship with God. And taking into account the fact that the Fathers always advise us not to trust ourselves, how do you engage in that without having a spiritual guide necessarily, because those are very hard to find right now? But also, how do you engage in that knowing that Fathers also talk about demons that will tell you, you know, oh, don't hurt yourself, or you can be lax on this or be too harsh on this. Like they're trying always to push you to extremes when you need the middle. And it involves, it seems like, a lot of observation, a lot of education, and a really sensitive spirit to the movement of the Holy Ghost to determine that. And I don't know, like, if maybe this is just me personally, but like, I'm not good at that. So how do you, like, how do you start that process?
What a complex question.
Sorry.
You said about many layers, put many layers in this. So in, even like answer will have many layers. One thing is that person who makes decision for really for this kind of fasting, we are, it means that this person has already some kind of knowledge of spiritual things. We are making decision to fast because you want to enter deeper, to understand your God, to understand yourself. You want to make your prayer deeper. So already when you are making decision, it means that you gain already some kind of knowledge which is there. Now, for sure, if you go with moderation, that you make these little steps, you are avoiding this like really huge and very, very painful temptations. You know, because it is not that you jump to some kind of really strict ascesis, which is beneficial, but you scare demons around you. This is something what we have to know about demons, that demons, many times we think that demons and angels, they are like the same beings, which just demons are bad and angels are good. We have to understand demons are those spiritual beings with a body who lost the vision of God. Their mind is darkened. So angel can see inside your soul and can teach you and lead you. Demon is not able to see inside of your soul. Demon can only somehow guess from your gesture, way how to live, how you live, how you act, what is in your heart. And then based on this gesture, he creates some kind of temptations. So it means if this demon around you sees that you eat only bread and water and nothing else, well, this person is going to get some kind of spiritual profit, so he attacks you immediately. Why, when you start your to do this practice slowly, you're just skipping breakfast and you don't talk and to anybody about this. He has no source to learn that you started fast. This is why important that we are not supposed to talk about too much around our efforts, spiritual efforts. We should, this is why Christ says that when you are going to fast, put oil on your head. You know, that don't show outside that you are fasting. Because you should not let these demons, the evil powers, you don't announce that, well, I'm going to fight with you now with fasting, you know, here I am, take me. No, you are smart. You say, well, I can deceive them, I can lie to them, you know. And so it means that if you are doing this in moderation, you are protected. There is not a lot of these attacks. Third thing, you said about that there is no guide. Well, I think that you approach a priest in these general questions, each priest can help you. I know that is not this what you mean, but what you said, yes, it is rare to find a real spiritual father in these times. Really, it is almost impossible. And but this we have to remember, and why we are doing that, that in this case Basil the Great and others, they tell us, well, if you don't have a guide, choose one. And they said, choose one of these holy fathers who teach you, and they will be your guide. You know, so it means that if you don't have a spiritual father, so yes, we should choose one of these teachers and to really listen to their words. And like with this fasting, how many advices he gives us. So he doesn't give, actually when you read several times, I think that there is nobody among spiritual fathers who would give you better explanation or direction. So God sends us these holy fathers, you know, just because we are suffering from the lack of real spiritual fathers. Does it make sense what I'm saying? Is there something that I didn't touch?
No, I think that
is good. Oh, okay, because I couldn't... Yeah, it was a long answer too, so I might forgot. All right, let's continue.
The quality of food is extremely important. The forbidden fruit in Eden was pleasing to the eye and taste, but it acted poisonously on the soul by giving the premature knowledge of good and evil, thereby destroying the purity in which our forefathers were created. And today, food continues to act strongly on our soul, which is especially evident when one drinks wine. Thus, all alcoholic drinks, especially those made from wheat, are forbidden to the ascetic laborer, since they rob his mind of temperance and make him incapable of the invisible war with the thoughts. The defeated mind, especially the victim of sensual thoughts, is deprived of spiritual grace. That which has been carefully acquired through many long labors is lost over the course of a few hours, even a few minutes. A monk should not drink wine, said St. Pimen the Great in the Saving of the Desert Fathers. Every pious Christian who desires to preserve his virginity and chastity should also follow this rule. The Holy Fathers followed it. And even if they did drink wine, it was very rare and in great moderation.
Yeah. So he gives really practical advices what not to drink, especially the wine not, and especially those drinks, especially those who are made from wheat. You know, notice that he's Russian, and he doesn't mention potato.
Yeah.
You know that vodka is allowed. No, I am. Yeah. So, well, anyway, I don't want to touch this practical thing, this, because it is easy to understand. But what I would like to tell the to touch here, because like he said that, where is this? A monk should not drink wine. And well, this word, this formulation, we could have this temptation, and many times in a book probably, that well, it was written for monk, for a monk or for monastics. So let's remove this false understanding that monastics are monks, nuns, are different people than we are. The same people. They have bones, body as we have. You know, so it's really normal people, just they decided for the state. And what works for them works for us too. What is good for them to reach holiness, it's good for us. Many times we cannot live so strict as they live, but there are like these lights which shows us direction this way. And we might not reach strictness. Maybe sometimes we can reach this strictness, but many times we cannot like be in solitude or to have this strict prayer rule, strict fasting rule as they have, because our responsibilities are different, and we live in the world and we have to encounter this world in different ways, which causes like some kind of barrier for us to follow these so strict rules. But following in some measure these rules, it's good for us as it is for them if we want to reach spiritual maturity, if we want to grow. This is some kind of the biggest temptation, is that, well, I don't need to follow this because this is for monks or for nuns. I mean, also there are different rules for us. If you read gospel, Jesus never said that, well, this is for monks and this is for the others, you know. So it's for all of us. So even if they set this some kind of more strict rules for monks and nuns in the book, we cannot think that we are there is a dispensation for us. All right. Questions, answers. Let's go.
Spicy food should be removed from the table of the ascetic, since it awakens carnal passions. Such foods include pepper, ginger, and other sweets. The most natural food is the one that was allotted to man immediately after his creation. Food from the plant kingdom. God said to our forefather, and God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Only after the flood was meat allowed for food." A vegetarian diet is best for the ascetic. It warms the blood the least, fattens the body the least, and its constituent parts affect the brain the least. Finally, it is the healthiest kind of food. For these reasons, one who follows it most easily preserves his purity and watchfulness of mind and its ability to rule over the body of the person. The passions have less hold over the body, and the person is more able to dedicate himself to ascetic labors.
So again, so those who are vegetarians, you know, they must be very happy to hear these words. But again, you know, with this all this stuff, with vegetarians and this healthy style, all in, so I remember that when I was preparing for that, I recalled when my grandparents, and still I remember home when I was young, so we were making, like in this time of year, you were making like sauerkraut, you know, and it's amazing how much we made. It was like, we were like family of four, and we made like two small barrels of sauerkraut. And I remember that my grandpa and my mother, she was saying, "Well, we are doing so little. When I was a child, we were making like four barrels, big ones." And when you start to think, you know, that at the time that when I was a child, and probably my parents, grandparents were in their life, you had like an extreme winter, you ate all this sauerkraut. There are so many recipes how to use this sauerkraut as a meal. That the meat was rare, very rare. You didn't have this, like chicken was for Sunday. You know that if you have chicken soup and chicken somehow prepared, you know that this is Sunday. And all of Friday, well, I remember Fridays were always bean soup in our house. It had to be. So if you had bean soup, you know it is Friday. You know, and the similar things, you know. And so it means that it's because there was not like some access to food or this meat or something. It was not so easy to buy. People were raising all these animals home, so they really adjusted their diet to this. So it was somehow natural that you were using these resources you had, you prepared, and it's mostly it was like this was some kind of vegetarian diet. So this modern time spoils a little bit, you know, because now if you make decisions that, okay, we are going to have like something like chicken, something from chicken meal, so you just rent to John Eagle, you buy chicken breast or whatever, you prepare it, so in spend like hour and something, you have meal ready. But I remember that when I was a child and we wanted to have like chicken, this soup or something. So my mother, my father, they were like trying to hunt for chicken first. Then my father refused to kill the chicken, so my mother, she took action. Killed the chicken. Then my father had to prepare like boiling water to put over this chicken. My mother, she cleansed that, you know, open, cleansed, and then it was time to prepare. So it was like long process, you know, to get the meat. So it is this modern time really makes things easy for us, and this causes that we are easily going. Well, it's easy for us to go through this easy way. And sometimes this ability to get meat or other stuff, meat already ready, just to put on the stove and to bake it a little bit. You know, if you want to have steak, now it's 8. I mean, maybe, giant is open. You can go there, buy it, bring it, put it. So in the span of like 25 minutes, you can have a steak. It's easy. Before you had to find a cow to kill it, to clean it. So after like 2 days. No, I'm just saying that we have to realize that it is difficult for us in this modern time. And we have to recognize that this access causes that our way, how we receive food, it's really hard. And many times we don't use this vegetarian stuff or because it takes more time to prepare. You know, it's sometimes easier to make something from meat. You can make food very easily than to prepare something from beans or something. But now you have even beans already ready in cans, you know. So, well, anyway, I'm just saying that we have to keep this in mind, that we should not be taken by this easy access to food, because this is temptation somehow, which and this temptation goes against our practice of fasting. I would stop here because we have only a few minutes left.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you and God bless.